to Ordinary Life on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM with your hosts,
Kitsy Doyle.
And me, Emma Kiriake.
She's so professional.
Where we talk about
our very ordinary lives.
Our ordinary lives. You can find us on ordinarylife.co.nz and on accessmedia.nz. Ordinary Life is proudly brought to you by Cover Yours. From quote to claim, they are in your corner. Contact them on coveryours.co.nz. And hello again, Kitty and Mike.
Yay! We came. Oh. I brought him back.
You didn't have enough last time, did you?
Oh, I have plenty of my.
Despite the fact that I didn't shut up.
Oh, man, what can I say? Yeah.
We can talk about that, or we could talk about.
Every fortnight, I go home after we've recorded this, and Mike complains that he has nowhere for therapy himself. And so I said, actually, we are representative of all chronic illnesses. It's just that I can't find a lot of people. so I shall drag you in from the street, and you can tell me, you can tell us and the world about your struggles.
Yeah, because one of the really weird things is, my situation is completely different to you guys, but at the same time, it's almost exactly the same.
Yeah, really similar, right?
Because, sometimes you'll be complaining about stuff, and you talk about drop-off and stuff. Like, excuse me, I suffer from it too, you know.
He's always got to go one better than me. Yeah.
So what's it like for you, Mike, the drop-off thing? So this is dropping off your meds.
Yeah, well, for me, it's not so much dropping off my meds. It's actually a fatigue hitting.
The energy level drop-off.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I describe, my brother gave me the metaphor. It's like I'm a 1980s rechargeable battery. Right? I discharge really, really, really fast.
Mm.
Yeah. I'll go along okay, and then all of a sudden, oof.
It's like falling off a cliff sort of thing, yeah.
But it takes me forever to recharge.
And he's like a little child sometimes. He doesn't realise it. And you can see he's getting... You know when little children get really angry because they want to do stuff, but they don't, I'm not tired.
Not tired. And, just a stupid little
thing. Not tired while you're nodding off on the couch sort of thing.
Mike will be like, I'm not tired. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sure you're not. And me and my kids will all look at each other and we'll give each other that knowing look like, oh, yeah, Mike's overdone it again.
It's like that. Right. No, I said I was going to make dinner. I'm going to make dinner. And I'll go and get a potato and I'll fall on the floor.
Stand around angrily.
I was about to say, do you force yourself through it like I can sometimes?
I
must do dinner, and I kind of stagger to the kitchen.
Watch me struggle.
my problem is I kind of go from feeling a little bit tired to thinking, okay, and then I get some really weird symptoms. If I keep pushing, I then for some reason I start getting slight bits of reflux.
Oh, okay.
That's weird, hey?
Yeah.
Why is that weird for...
I have no idea why. That's a bit odd. But just before that, I start feeling... I could best describe it as it's like being drunk.
Mm.
You know when you have a really good night out, but your peripheral vision becomes a bit...
I remember those.
You lose your professional vision.
And you're not
quite sure where everything is, and you don't quite trust your vision.
So what do you do, Mike? Do you what happens, Kitty? Maybe I should ask you. Do you sit down or do you?
Now, he definitely never gets angrier and angrier and angrier.
Now I used to, before I learnt, and it did actually take me about 3 years, and one episode of being stuck in atrial fibrillation for 6 months, which made my condition significantly worse.
Oh, okay. Can I just quickly ask, so that you take medication for that, or?
Yes. So I'm on two medications, and I take them each morning. One is an antiarrhythmia medication, and its job is to basically calm down the cells in my heart that create the pulse.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the problems that I've discovered with my heart is instead of having just a bass drummer, it's got a whole pile of drummers.
Oh, okay.
Right,
yep.
It's got lots. Yeah, half of my heart wants to get
so
in on the action.
So slow it down and regulate it.
And it kind of like stuffs a pillow into every drum.
Yeah. Oh no. So it's, everything's muffled.
Yeah. And so just the bass drum comes through.
So do you guys do the whole pill comparison?
Well, the thing is, I was just about to say to you, can you imagine Emma only taking two pills a day? Oh,
I'm sorry. Tragedy. I'm sorry.
No, but it's not even trying, man. I mean, yeah. No, I'm very glad he isn't, because when he tries, he does. Yeah. Spectacularly.
The other thing I take is a beta blocker.
Yeah.
And I take a pretty heavy dose of that. The highest dose they can give you is 10 milligrams, and I'm on 7.5, which is the...
And we found out exactly what that does, didn't we? Because my daughter, you remember Amelia, who's training to be a doctor, apparently they gave her a very, 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 very tiny amount of beta blocker so they can experience how their patients feel.
Well, so what are they? What do they do?
What they basically do is when, like you and I get a bit tired, our heart will kind of do stuff to give you a bit more energy, kind of.
So basically, medically what it does is when your muscles need more oxygen, your brain releases adrenaline.
Yeah.
And it relaxes your lungs so you can take bigger breaths.
See, there you go. He's all medical. I just said it does stuff.
And it stiffens your arteries so that they can carry a higher blood pressure. And it tells your heart to speed up.
And when you have a beta blocker, it doesn't do that.
Your
heart just
doesn't
feel
do the
knackered.
Speeding up bit. So your lungs still
relax. I just feel tired.
Yeah. So it enables you to stay in rhythm, sort of thing.
Mm. Yeah, because if I'm not medicated, my heart rate will basically vary each day from about 40 BPM when I'm resting, up to about 220, which is not great.
How do you guys deal with this as a family? Because you're both in there together, dealing with the separate issues.
Well, I mean,
what's the balance?
What I find really hard is I have to push myself to keep going, and he has to slow down. So that's really, really difficult, and that is something that I think we both struggle with. And then there was that comment you made recently, which inadvertently really, really upset me, when he said, oh, it's kind of all right for you because you can just drop some tablets and you'll be all right. And I was like, but it isn't all right for me because I'm also going to get worse. And you can always take a nap, I said.
Oh my gosh. So it has gotten into conflict land.
Yes.
Yeah. It's
like, so talk to us about the jealousy, Mike, because I hear that.
Oh, the, so I guess this is, this radio show is a great example. So
look at you, Kitty, you've got a radio show.
So,
how dare I?
It's actually, well, you've got friends, right?
Mm.
Kitty has got, you and Emma, you guys have got each other to talk to. Yeah, and if you're having a bad day, you can give each other a call.
Yeah. Is there anything like that for you in Heart World or whatever?
Bingo, that's the big thing, isn't it?
The short answer is no.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, what about the New Zealand Heart Foundation?
Yeah, they put lots of advice out, don't they?
The New Zealand Heart Foundation focuses on sufferers of cardiovascular disease and heart attack.
Yeah, so it's all diet and exercise stuff.
Yeah, so that's damage with the plumbing in your heart, basic blood dump.
And you got sent along to that to help thing, didn't you? After you came out of hospital, they said, we're going to send you for some rehabilitation at the hospital. It's going to be really good. And he went along and it was basically lots of people who'd had heart attacks and he's had a cardiac arrest.
Oh,
telling you how to not put salt in your diet and not eat fatty foods. And he was sat there thinking, but I don't do this anyway.
Yeah.
So when I was discharged from hospital, I mean, I went through every heart test there was. And the cardiologist described my heart as disgustingly healthy. And when I asked, to clarify.
Is that a medical term?
He said, well, Mrs. Doyle, I've never seen a heart so healthy in a man of his age.
So your problem is neurological, really, isn't it?
Well, the problem with my heart is electrical. The problem with most people's hearts is the plumbing.
Mm. Basically, what's wrong with your brain?
And the problem with my
brain damage from...
And because I had half an hour with insufficient blood supply to my brain and actually to my entire body...
Mm.
I suffer huge amounts of fatigue, and I have suspected hypoxic brain damage.
Mm.
So everything is just really hard to do.
So like when you get tired, you can't even get to the supermarket and stuff, eh? Because you can't process things.
I mean, you're literally both dealing with brain things, not really brain and heart, eh?
Well,
sort of, mostly.
And the problem is if I get too fatigued, then the control of my heart starts to break down and it goes a bit crazy. So it kind of, they end up playing off each other. And the only thing I can do is sleep.
There's really nothing out there, is there?
So one of the problems for cardiac arrest survivors, particularly if you've been down for a long time, is I think these statistics will make it clear. Oh, and October, thank you for getting me in, because October is Cardiac Arrest Awareness Month internationally.
Oh, remember that stat you told me yesterday? Yes. That was quite scary. Yeah.
So, out of hospital heart attack survival rates, over 80%. If you have a heart attack outside of a hospital, your chance of survival is greater than 80%.
Wow.
If you have a cardiac arrest outside of hospital, your chance of survival is less than 8%.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And I'm on a cardiac arrest survivors Facebook group.
Right.
And whenever anyone talks about it, usually people were, say, down is the term.
The term.
Yeah.
For most people are 2 or 3 minutes. Yeah, maybe you might get a few up at 8 or 9 minutes. I was 32.
This blows my mind.
Yeah,
there's very few people in that group, even at my length of time and more. Now, I do know of someone on the group who survived 52 minutes of CPR.
That's insane.
So, does the group though? Is there any help from that group, or is it?
We just support each other.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah.
So what
does that look like though?
Well, one of the problems is that people like me aren't alive.
Mm.
You know, we just don't survive.
Yeah.
So there aren't people like me to talk around, because the chance of actually me being me and me being here is so slim.
And there's all these things around it, isn't there? Like there's the survivor guilt, and there's the should I be here that people go through, and people don't like to talk about it. Because I remember the first time I said to Mike, I told him what had happened. The first time he realised it meant that he'd essentially died, he did look absolutely horrified. And I didn't say it again. He was still suffering from amnesia at the time. And I remember thinking, oh, I won't do that again, because that clearly really upset him.
Yeah.
And that does mess with your head a bit, eh?
Yes, it did take – it's an incredibly hard thing to get your head around.
Yeah.
This annoys Kitty, but one of my my lead developer
– lots of things annoy me.
So while I was trying to go back to work, I went into work one day and we were talking about what happened to me, and she looked at me and went, she's quite blunt, said, Mike, if they were doing CPR on you, you were clinically dead. Full stop, no question, that's it. You only do CPR on people who are clinically dead, and if they did CPR on you, you were clinically dead. And I was like, and I remember the shock of it. Like the whole world just kind of went, and I just grabbed all my stuff. I was just like, I have to get out of here, and basically ran away.
And leaving work at that point, I think that's probably been good for you in terms of enabling you to now explore other things in life.
Yeah. It's
you've said it's given you more tolerance as well, didn't you?
Oh yes, yeah. It's a lot of tolerance, and really realise the value of being able to see the flowers.
Yeah.
And
and Kitty talk about it as like trying to have fun with Parkinson's.
Yeah.
It's a bit harder to have fun with cardiac arrest survival.
Fun with cardiac arrest survival. It sounds
But we don't mean we're laughing at people. We mean we're we're having fun, living our lives.
You still got
and
to try, yeah. In spite of everything.
Yeah, you just have to keep moving.
Beep that we'd have to deal with.
Yeah, and I did say to Mike recently, I said, I think that one thing you need to do is stop feeling guilty that you're not at work doing, you know, 50 hours a week. And you need to just learn to sit back. It's something he hates. But sit back and take it a little bit slower.
I feel like we have a lot more to talk about on this.
Oh,
don't
we?
Yes. Shall we do part three next time?
Would you come back, Mr. Doyle?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Question is, will I bring him?
I suspect there are also other groups of people who, again, suffer similar trials. But it's not easy to acknowledge, to be honest.
It's pretty weird when I do tell people about my life and they'll go, oh, you've got this and you've got that. And then I go, but wait, there's more. Let me tell you about my husband.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it all gets a bit weird.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, unfortunately, that's all we've got time for today.
It is.
And so that's it from us on Ordinary Life. This has been me, Emma.
And me, Kitty.
And me, Mike.
Hey.
Thanks, Cover Yours, and thanks, Coast Access Radio. Ka kite anō.
We'll see you next time.
Farewell.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for Radio Broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.